Hamlet is a prized role for actors, but it is out of reach for many, especially for one rather sizable group of the population, women. Now, an evening of Shakespearean theater gives the women of the Atlanta Shakespeare Company the chance to inhabit many of the best male roles. It's called Lady Shakes, a sort of Shakespeare variety show of different scenes, combat, and music. Producer Gabby Watts spoke with Danny Hurd, one of the organizers of the event, as well as a member of the Atlanta Shakespeare Company. Danny started out with this statistic.
According to an Oxford University Press blog post about 2 years ago, only 16% of all of the characters Shakespeare wrote are women.
And in your estimation, how many of those would you say are complex characters?
Oh, that's a great question. The thing is, I actually think almost all of Shakespeare's sort of big classic heroines are complex and beautiful. They just never get to end their own play. I was thinking about it on the way up here, and to me, Rosalind from As You Like It, who does have the most lines of any woman in Shakespeare, 721 compared to Hamlet's 1506. And as I was thinking through, she's the only character in a play with an epilogue who gets her own epilogue, like a character such as Lady Macbeth or Juliet. Beautiful, complicated, fascinating characters with a lot of different shades to them and who I think can be interpreted in many different valid ways, which makes them so exciting for an actor or an audience member or just, I think, a scholar. They're done. But Lady Macbeth, you see, she gets a whole act off, comes back to be crazy for a couple pages, and then she's out. And she's so set up at the top of the play as this fascinating character, and then it kind of gets thrown over to the men to bring it on home. I think Juliet is a more complicated character than Romeo. I think it's become really easy to dismiss Romeo and Juliet as a play about stupid teenagers. But if you really examine the text, I think Juliet Capulet is brilliant. For a girl who's 13, some of just the observations she makes, I think something as simple as a rose by any other word would smell as sweet. That's astute. That's not a level I feel like I was on when I was a 13-year-old girl. And I think she's smarter than Romeo, and I feel like the actors I know who have portrayed her would probably say the same. So I honestly think there's a lot of good meaty stuff for women in Shakespeare. There's just so little of it compared to the good meaty stuff for the guys.
And do you think that Shakespeare was particularly good at actually writing in female perspectives? Like if you read the character, would you say, oh, this is definitely a female perspective as opposed to a male writing in a female's perspective?
I think Shakespeare is actually, and I'm obviously coming in with a bias because I love Shakespeare so much and it's what I've decided to do for my whole crazy life. And again, I'm going back to some of the characters that I've played. And you can definitely see in the later plays him getting better. You look at earlier plays like we're working on Comedy of Errors right now, and we just accept at the end of the play, what a happy ending, the twins are together. Antipholus is going to keep cheating on his wife. We just know that. Like Adriana was blamed for making him crazy because she was so jealous. And then in shows like Two Gentlemen of Verona, we essentially see a character be sexually assaulted in the text. And
fun.
But how romantic. It's going to be great. We're going to go on our merry way. Obviously, Taming of the Shrew is an early comedy that's got a lot of controversy attached to it, and rightly so. So I think Bill got better because as you move into plays, and again, I'll use the example of As You Like It because it's my favorite. There's a scene towards the middle. Rosalind and Orlando have their fake marriage. He still thinks she's a man. And granted, I don't know if Shakespeare maybe felt that freedom that, well, while this character is speaking ostensibly, the people on stage with her believe that she's a man. Does she have more freedom to speak her truth? But beautiful lines about women. The one that sticks with me is the wiser, the waywarder. So I can see, I think he gets better as he goes on. And obviously he can never truly speak to a woman's perspective. But I think that's why it's so important to keep doing these plays and why I think it's so important to try to examine gender parity in casting, even among the famous male characters. I think Shakespeare endures because Shakespeare speaks to the experience of being a human. And I think it can be hard for an old dead white guy to be able to speak to these unique binary experiences that we're all going through. But we've all experienced sadness with on a spectrum. We've all experienced anger and love and hate and jealousy. And I think he's able to write that so well that even today, a good actor or a good actress, female actor, I don't really love actress, but whatever, I think is able to access that. And so by telling her truth and her perspective on that text, I think I think they become a little more relevant and true the more we perform them, being able to put our own agency onto this really lovely poetry.
But, so a lot of it is about the, not just the words, but also the performance.
I think so.
And so how people do the performance. And of course, in Shakespeare, originally all of this was performed by men,
You're
of course.
Wrong.
And nowadays we do have more adaptations where we'll have, you know, gender swapping or, you know, an all-female cast. Mm-hmm. Have you done an all-female cast before? And if so, or if not, you know, kind of what is the role or the importance or the additional understanding of the place that you can gain through these sorts of productions?
Absolutely. So I've actually been really fortunate through, I'm an alum of Agnes Scott College, and then there used to be a great theater company in town called the Fern Theater, and they've since relocated to Seattle, but they made a point of, within all of their seasons, they did one completely female production of one of Shakespeare's works. I performed in their Lear about a year ago exactly. And we don't do that on our professional stage at the Shakespeare Tavern. Our education programs experience a lot of gender parity. I directed a high school production of Much Ado About Nothing this past summer, which was, I had 14 kids, I had 12 girls. So Benedict and Beatrice were both girls. The father character was a high school girl, and it was beautiful, and I cried every time they did it. And Lady Shakes, which is, we're now going to do our second ever performance, and that's not a full-out production. It's a collection of fights and scenes and music taken from Shakespeare's text. And in last year's show, one of the scenes that stuck out to me in terms of something that I felt like I hadn't really listened to before, in the play, Measure for Measure, and if it's been a while for some of you, it's one of the weirder ones. There's a nun, Isabella. Her brother, Claudio, has been imprisoned and is scheduled to be executed because he got his lady friend pregnant out of wedlock.
Oops.
Right. And then Angelo, I feel bad because I can't remember his exact title. Angelo's this guy in charge, and he thinks Isabella is super foxy. And so when Isabella goes to kind of plead for her brother's life, he's like, well, if you sleep with me, then we can make a deal. And there's a big, awful scene where that's first being proposed, and it's really gross. And for me, normally when I watch that show, even if there's a great actor playing Angelo, I just kind of tune out because I'm like, you suck. You're a jerk. This is awful. And we did that scene last year during Lady Shakes, and both roles were being performed by women. And something about hearing a woman speak Angelo's lines, and we didn't change the text or the gender pronouns. She wasn't necessarily costumed in an obviously feminine way. But watching a woman or hearing a woman speak those lines made me really listen, because there was a shade of, oh, I think you understand what you're asking her to do. I think you know why this is awful. And that makes me really, really interested in what's happening. And I do think it's fascinating what can be different about a text or a story, again, without changing any of the text, just by hearing it in different voices. And I imagine the same is probably true in an all-male production, which still sometimes happens. And I'm fine with that, so long as we're also doing enough female productions to kind of match up with that.
Some Title IX of Shakespeare.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, for Lady Shakes, for the selections that you choose to perform, is it to, you know, highlight a particular exchange? Or I guess, what is the reason for the selections that you choose?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the initial inspiration for Lady Shakes is we are overflowing with talented, amazing women in the Atlanta Shakespeare Company. And because there are so few roles for women in Shakespeare, a show comes along and maybe you have two other women in your dressing room that you're sharing the stage with. And we luckily all like each other and we would love to do work more. So Lady Shakes was initially inspired for me in terms of, well, gosh, I'd like to be in a show with all of you. So what I requested, my fear was, because we're hungry for these, hungry to get a chance to do Hamlet or, you know, Iago or any of these roles that just have felt so closed off to us for all of these years.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've asked for the past 2 years is we have a big kind of initial meeting We order pizza and we sit on the stage and talk about what we want to do. And what I always ask is, don't come in with what you want to do. I want you to make an offer to someone else in the company. So I want you to come in, and it can be as specific as, I really want to see so-and-so. We had a scene this year and the scene is happening. Someone came in and said, I want these two girls to be Hamlet and the ghost of Hamlet's father. That's what I want to see. And then I would ask them, like, do you guys want to do that? And they're like, absolutely. Or we might just have the amazing Haley Platt, who is a tiny little redheaded ball of fire who has been our Juliet most recently and has played Puck and is tiny and mischievous and beautiful. And someone said, I want Haley to play a villain. Not like a mischievous character, but like an actual villain. And then we also had another actress who was offered, I want to see so-and-so be really, really vulnerable. And out of that, it's like, well, cool. Well, let's do Iago and Amelia and Desdemona, and let's put that together. Do you guys want to do that? So based on those offers, we kind of start to curate the program together. So no scenes are chosen ahead of time. It comes out with what the company is inspired to see our comrades perform, which mm-hmm. felt really important to me, so that we all just didn't walk in going, we all want to be Hamlet. I know.
And also, is there an emphasis on combat scenes? Or is that just kind of like the fun part of the marketing tagline?
Well, again, we all... So the women that you will see in Lady Shakes are all either full-time staff members with the Atlanta Shakespeare Company, and almost everyone who has a staff position at the tavern is also an actor, or anyone who has been through our apprentice company, which I believe just experienced its 15th season. So every year we train 3 to 4 amazing female actors, along with amazing guys, but in things like stage combat. And we have fewer opportunities to then use it when the show comes up. So we all know how to wield rapiers and daggers and broadswords and punch somebody in the face. And it's just a little more rare that we get to bust that out.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something going in. I'm like, I know I want there to be a fight. And then we talk about, well, what's a... Last year, we decided to use the text from the opening brawl of Romeo and Juliet. You know, do you bite your thumb at me? Blah, 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 blah. And because we don't have to stay within the context of that whole show, it was sort of like, who wants to fight and who is willing to come in on their own time to make these combat rehearsals? Because no one's getting paid for Lady Shakes. Lady Shakes is done entirely for charity to benefit the Women's Resource Center to End Domestic Violence. So all these talented, busy, hardworking ladies are just doing it for the love of the game, as they say. So like the opening brawl from Romeo and Juliet, this year, we're using the text of the lover's fight from Midsummer Night's Dream, and then just finding creative ways to use potentially, you know, 10 people in what should be a 4-person scene. And so it ends up becoming a source of like ridiculous comedy and using found weapons. So
it's like a brawl.
Basically. So like last year, we did have rapiers and daggers and hand to hand, but we also just like anything that was backstage. So you might see brooms and water jugs and stools being used and wielded as weapons during any of the fights. Combat felt like a really important factor to include. And it's also, it's always been our way to start the show. And I feel like it's such a great, like, energy, getting the crowd excited before we move into really, really sad text.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking about Lady Shakes.
Oh, my goodness. I was so happy to. Thank you for having me.